Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
Bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of grace around the table of the King. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again, and we'll join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King, around the table of the King. Behold the Lamb who bears our sin.
Much, Becky. How fitting a song to sing this morning, and such a wonderful words and wonderfully sung. And it's good to see y'all today. And we're going to be in start out in Luke chapter 14. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, I want to start in verse 16. And we'll read through verse 24. Okay. Bible says, "Then he said to him, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses.'" Does that sound familiar to today? "The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you have me excused.'" Verse 20. "Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.'" I love verse 23 and 24. Listen to it carefully. "Then the master said to the servant," now that master is Jesus, by the way, "'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" He's saying those that were invited, but they all had excuses why they didn't need the Lord. He's saying they won't taste my supper. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And this morning, Lord, as we prepare to take of the Lord's Supper, God, we pray that you prepare our hearts in the process. And Father, we pray as Valmer prayed, and we pray as Becky sang, that God, that if there be anybody here today that does not know you as Savior, that today we are offering a supper in the name of Jesus Christ that can be received by faith in the heart through grace. And Lord, we pray that if anybody has not received Christ, that today would be the day. Lord, we love you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning I'm going to look at 3 suppers, but in the Bible there's really 4 suppers in the New Testament. The 4th supper is a supper of judgment, and it's in Revelation 19, and it is my prayer that nobody in this church today or that hears this message would ever have to make it to that 4th supper, because that 4th supper is not a place that you want to be. But if you partake of the 1st supper we're going to look at today, then you're good to go for the 2nd supper, and you're going to experience the marriage supper of the Lamb in the future in glory, and you'll bypass the wrathful supper, which is the 4th supper. So this morning we're going to look at 3 suppers. I've got to be fairly brief on these, so listen closely, because they're really, really important. And it's about trying things. In other words, God wants us to listen to Him, and He wants us to try Him. He wants us to test Him. He wants us to eat of His Word. He wants us to listen to what He has to say. And so it made me think of a story, kind of a humorous story that I heard at one time about a man that wanted to buy a parakeet because he had heard that parakeets can talk, and he was impressed with that the fact that a parakeet can talk. And so he goes to the bird store and he buys this parakeet and he takes it home, and after about a week, that parakeet hadn't said a word. So he's a little bit aggravated and he goes back to the bird store and he says, "Look," he said, "this parakeet won't talk, won't say a thing." And he said, "Well, get him a mirror." He said, "Sometimes you let the bird look in the mirror and that'll get him to talking." And so the man bought the mirror, went back a week later to the bird store. And he said, "Well, I got the mirror, but the bird still don't talk." He said, "Okay, try this bell." So he hands the man a bell, and the man goes back, and he puts the bell in the bird cage, and after a week, that bird still isn't talking. So he goes back, and he says, look, he said, the bird finally said something this morning. I was giving up, but it finally said something. And the dealer said, well, what did the bird say? He said, well, he looked in the mirror, then he rang his bell, and then he dropped dead off of his perch. And he said, well, what did he say? He said, doesn't that pet shop sell bird seed? He hadn't been feeding his bird. And the moral of the story is this, that the Lord has prepared a meal for us, but sometimes we're trying the mirror, we're trying the bell, and we're trying all the other things except for what Christ has come to offer. And we go through life, and when it comes to the things of God and it comes to spiritual things, we just tend to make excuses. You know, I've got this to do. I've got that to do. I'm not worried about the Lord. I'm not worried about His supper. And then one day, either when the Lord comes back or we pass away, it's too late because we wasn't ready, because we never tasted of His supper. That's what the text is about that we just read. So the first supper, and it's on your outline, is this. There's three of them we're going to look at. Is we've been given an invitation to the supper of salvation. I love verse 21 through verse 24, but in particular verse 23. Matter of fact, we have a ministry called Home to Home here in the church where we go and we invite people to church and we pray with them if they have anything they need prayed for. And if they want to hear the gospel, we share the gospel with them. And we have shirts that we wear so that we won't scare everybody half to death when we walk up to their doorstep. And on the back of it, it's a home-to-home ministry, and it has a portion of this verse written on the back of our shirt because we feel like that's what God has called us as believers to do, is to invite. We are those going out by the command of Christ to make disciples, inviting people to come to the Lord and to taste His supper. And y'all have heard my testimony many times, but I tasted His supper in a hotel room. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I was actually fixing to head to a hotel bar, but I couldn't let go of that doorknob. And I mean, I was under so much conviction, and the Lord was inviting me to taste of salvation, to taste of who He was. And I finally did. You know the rest of the story. And I gave my heart to Christ, and that's why I'm here today. I told the Lord when He saved me, I said, if You'll save me, I didn't know how to get saved. I said, if You'll save me, if You'll show me what to do, because He was convicting me, then I'll give You my heart, and I'll follow You the rest of the days of my life. And I've done that. Hadn't been perfect, but I have tried my best to follow the Lord Jesus, and I do not regret it. It's the best meal that I've ever ate. Now, Teresa, you've took me to some good restaurants, and we've ate some good meals. But that was the best meal that I've ever ate. And you've cooked a few good meals, too. Yeah. I'm just messing with you. I can pick on Teresa. She's my wife, by the way. Look at the text again. He says, for I say to you in verse 24, for I say to you that none of those men who were, notice that word, were invited. In other words, they waited till it was too late. He didn't use the word are invited. He's using a past tense word because he's speaking from reflection. He says, I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ has offered the supper of salvation. You ask yourself, how do you eat that meal? You see, God uses physical illustrations to point out spiritual truths. And so you ask yourself, how can I eat of the supper of salvation? Here's how you do it. You have to believe the meal. When we sit down to eat and we go to a restaurant or wherever we go or eating at home, I believe the meal. I would not eat that meal if I knew that it would give me food poisoning. Wouldn't eat it. But we eat it because we believe it. And we believe that it's safe. We believe that it's good. We believe that it's going to help us. And we never question the meal. Jesus Christ has set a table in the presence of His enemies. He has prepared a table. And on this table, He has placed a meal called salvation. Jesus Christ is God, and He was with God for all eternity.
from everlasting. And Jesus Christ said, in some eternities past with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three yet one. And he made a decision. And Jesus said, listen, and I don't know how that went about in the plan room of eternities past, but Jesus said, I'll go. I, the Word, will go to earth. And at Christmas time for us, I will become flesh. And I will identify with all of mankind that is lost. And you say, well, why is all of mankind lost? God created us. Then why did he create us where we could be lost? God created us in perfection in the Garden of Eden. He created Adam and Eve, and for we don't know how many years, Adam and Eve lived without sin. But one day they were tempted. They only had one thing not to do. Don't eat of the tree of good and evil. They ate of that tree. And they disobeyed God. It's not that the tree was so bad. It's just that the disobedience was so bad. And they disobeyed God. And it was that disobedience that sunk them into sin so that everybody born after Adam and Eve would inherit a sin nature. But yet Jesus says, I love them. I see them going astray. I see them being led by the lust of the flesh. I see them in all of their temptation. I see them in all of their sin throughout time. And I want to go, and I'm going to go to earth, and I'm going to identify with them yet without the sin because I'm God. And Jesus was born. And then at 33 years old, Jesus went to the cross. There the meal was prepared. And on the cross, the bread, his body is the bread. And on the cross, the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. And the bread of life spread out his arms voluntarily. He could have annihilated every single human on earth at that moment had he wanted to. There was legions of angels at his disposal had he desired to use them. He could have used this very word and we wouldn't be here today. He could have said, man, be no more, and we would have been gone. But Jesus stayed on the cross. He allowed the spikes to go through the bread of life into his hands, and the blood of our atonement began to flow out of his body. You say, I've always been confused about the blood. Why is the blood so important? Because his blood did not have a sin nature. He was born of a virgin, but yet he was flesh and human just like us. And his blood was divine. Our blood is an inheritance that you can trace all the way back to the sin of Adam, but not Jesus. And so there's the innocent blood, the innocent bread, hanging on the cross, offering us the meal of salvation. And so Jesus dies. 3 days later, he comes out of that grave. And you know where he is today? The Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for the saints, and he is praying for those that don't know him to come to him. There is an invitation today for every lost sinner. And that invitation is announced every time they hear the gospel. And that invitation is this: believe in Jesus. Believe that he is God. Believe that he died for your sin. You have to admit that I am a sinner. That's the hardest part. You admit that I am a sinner. You believe that Jesus is God. And then you confess your sins to him. The Holy Spirit helps you to do that. It's a gift. And so as we give our heart to Jesus Christ, he gives us an exchange. He takes our sinfulness and he gives us his righteousness. That's a great exchange. In fact, I'll be preaching a series in Christmas that's called, entitled, The Great Gift Exchange. And we're going to look at some of those exchanges that we get for Christmas. Then there's the Second Supper. It's the Supper of Communion. That's what we're doing today. That's called the Lord's Supper. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Man, this is such a powerful chapter right here. It's just unbelievable. Now remember, God uses physical things to represent spiritual truths. And I want you to start in verse 3 because I want you to see something. Now Paul is talking about how when Israel was delivered out of Egypt and they've been in the wilderness and they're wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years and God is revealing himself to them. But I want you to see the spiritual implication that he will eventually apply to what we're fixing to do here in just a second. Start in verse 2, chapter 10, verse 2, 1 Corinthians. He says, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. Spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. Now you say, what was the spiritual food? Jesus, the bread of life, remember, he's the bread of life. Manna came down out of the sky in that desert. There was no food in that desert. Manna came out of the sky every day. They ate what God sent. The Bible says in John chapter 3, 15 through 16, that God sent his son. He sent his son. He is our manna. He is our bread of life. That's our spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, and it's capitalized with a capital R, the rock, that's Jesus, that followed them. And that rock was Christ. You say, well, I thought that Jesus was born in Bethlehem a little over 2,000 years ago. How could that be Christ? Because that was Christ the Word in the Old Testament time. That was Jesus that was following them. That was that spiritual rock. And then that water that come out, a picture of the water of the Word of God and the water of the Holy Spirit, you see the triunity of God. Look at verse 6. Now these things became our examples. That's for us too today here at Mount Silvan. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things. He's saying we should learn from their experience. Now I want you to look at some nors. You'll see nors unless your translation says something different. That we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. In other words, they wasn't paying attention to God. Look at verse 8. Here's the first nor. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Verse 9. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Did you just see that in verse 9? He says that they were tempting Christ. This is Old Testament times. Nor let us tempt Christ, because see, what he's saying is what happened then was written and penned as an example for us today, that if it was Christ was that rock that followed them, then it is Christ that we have to deal with today. So if he's offering you something, if he's offering you bread, if he's offering you water, if he's offering you atonement, he's saying you better get right with Jesus, turn from your sins, put your faith in Jesus Christ, or you're going to fall. Look at verse 10. He says, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. And here he is in verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now look at verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear. What he's saying is, get right with Jesus Christ the rock, get right with Jesus Christ the bread, and then when the evil lust and the temptations come and all these things come, you're going to know how to see that way of escape so that you can give God the glory and live a life that pleases him instead of a life that pleases yourself. By the way, when you live a life because you know Jesus, and when you live a life pleasing the Savior, there's no greater contentment. There's no greater joy. You can chase the things of this world endlessly. If you lived to be a million years old, you would never find happiness. Because as long as you're using the world to fill your happiness bucket, it will always remain on low. You'll never feel full. Jesus says, I have come that your joy may be full, so that you'll be full. When I got saved, I'm telling you, it changed my life. It changed it completely. And you know one of the reasons I made excuses? Is I felt like if I give my heart to Jesus, a lot of the things I do and a lot of the things I'm doing, and I'm having a lot of fun. If I give my heart to Jesus, he's going to make me quit doing all this stuff. Well, you know what? One day I realized all that stuff was keeping me from Jesus. And all that stuff was sending me to hell because I was not accepting Christ. And hell was going to be my home. And whenever I got saved, I felt like I was on a thin sheet of ice fixing to plummet directly into fiery hell. And when I accepted Jesus Christ, I felt that go away. All of a sudden, what felt like thin ice suddenly felt like a strong foundation, because that's what we have in Christ. So we have a supper of communion. I got to hurry here, but look at verse 16. Now we're coming to the cup of blessing. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? There is power in the blood. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We all take of the same little piece of bread. There's no power in that little piece of bread we're going to take in a minute. It's symbolic of that piece of bread that we all eat from, which is the bread of life, Jesus Christ, who came and gave of his body. Verse 17. For we, though many, are one bread, because we're in Christ. That makes us one bread. And one body, for we all partake of that one bread. There's no other way. Jesus is the only way. One more thing I want you to point out about the supper. There's the supper of salvation. That's the first supper. You take that supper, makes you good for this second supper. The supper of communion. We'll do that here in just a few minutes. And then there's one more supper that we look forward to, and it's the supper of joy. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Look real quickly at Revelation 19. And this is when we have been gathered to the Lord. And I love, let's start in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. I hope in that great multitude you get to hear my voice, and I hope I get to hear your voice in that great multitude. As the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God, omnipotent, that word means all-powerful, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. That's why it's the supper of joy. It's an invitation. He's saying, come to this supper and be glad. Be excited. And when you get to that supper, it reminds me of a song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. It's one of my favorite hymns, by the way. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. You'll have no more backaches, knee problems. There'll be no more suffering. I mean, you'll absolutely be removed from the temptation of sin and the burden of sin. You'll be 100% healed inwardly, physically, spiritually, every way that you can possibly imagine. And it'll be such an exciting day at that supper. He says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, that's the believer, the bride, he's the groom, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. You say, what is that fine linen? I'm a man. I don't really know if I want to be wearing some fine linen. Well, let me explain it to you so you don't get scared. Clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Physical representation of a spiritual truth. Isn't that wonderful? We're looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to ask you today, are you ready? Are you ready to pass away? Are you ready if Jesus came back? What if Jesus came back before the service ended? Would you be ready? Because I believe that one day, and it could be one day very soon, that the Father has been setting the table. And he's getting everything ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, he's got the rewards ready to be given out. He's getting the supper table ready. And he's going to say, son, he's going to go look at the tables. He's going to look at the place settings. He's going to look at the silverware. He's going to look at everything. And he's going to look at it, and he's going to look over at his son, Jesus. He's going to say, son, go get your bride. Supper is ready. And I mean, you may not be ready for supper, but he will come back. Amen. You need to be ready for supper. The table is set. Go get your bride. Supper is ready. It's going to be the most exciting supper you've ever ate in your life besides the supper of salvation.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, or if you've made a decision for Christ or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you and God bless.